We're talking all this hour about the crisis in Syria, and we're wondering, what do you think? What is your reaction to the news from Syria?
Hello, this is Paul from Kentucky. I just want to say, although it is a terrible, terrible tragedy, what's going on over in Syria, I do not believe, however, that it is the United States' responsibility to step in during this crisis. I believe it needs to be an international interaction.
Join your voice into the conversation. What are you feeling as you watch these events unfold? Give us your take at 8778-MY-TAKE, or you can post at thetakeaway.org. We'll hear from a supporter of the Syrian opposition in just a moment. But first, the headlines at 31 minutes after the hour. Democrats are expected to join House Republicans today to approve a ban on insider trading by federal officials. What's not in this measure, but is in the Senate version, a requirement that people who collect information from Congress and sell it to investment firms must register like lobbyists. In the 24 hours after he won all three GOP contests in Colorado, Minnesota, and Missouri, Rick Santorum's campaign raised close to $1 million. Most of those donations came in online, and they came in so quickly, it crashed the website. The sluggish economy and tight job market has left young Americans less likely to be working than at any time since World War II. A Pew Research Center analysis finds more than 40% of those surveyed see young adults as the hardest hit group of Americans. In the markets, Asian markets are mixed right now. European indices are mixed as well. Futures are down slightly. The Dow will start at 12,884, the S&P at 1,350, the NASDAQ at 2916. And we want to hear what you have to say as we talk about Syria all this hour. Reach us at our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/thetakeaway.
We've asked the Syrian government repeatedly to ensure the safety and security of our facilities and our personnel.
This is a doomed regime as well as a murdering regime.
The diplomacy must never stop.
This is not going to be a matter of if, it's going to be a matter of when.
We need to suspend operations at our embassy in Damascus.
Clearly, there will not be international intervention.
The Assad regime is feeling the noose tightening around them.
People don't think the outside world is coming to help them, and they simply don't know what to do about that.
We've established that the Russians are going to stand by the regime in Damascus, but what will the rest of the international community do? You hear the ambivalence and the sense of resolve, such as it is, among various world leaders in that montage of voices reacting to the situation in Syria. What of the people inside the country? We take you to the city of Homs now. It's been under siege for nearly 6 days, straight days of bombing by Syrian forces. Just before we went on the air, we spoke with Omar. He's an activist in Homs. He was using a very sketchy Skype connection, trying to tell the world what's going on.
We are under shelling. They are using aircraft and rockets. People here doesn't think about food. They think, just think, can we handle more time? Can we stay alive?
Omar, I fear for your safety. Are you safe now?
No, in the early morning, three rockets land in the next house to us. They targeted my house because I'm using internet satellite. But they are now targeting this satellite.
Well, Omar, we very much are concerned for your safety and the safety of your family. What is the future for Homs? Is there any end in sight?
We hope the international world do something. Yesterday, more than 21 babies killed. Where is the UN? Where is the humanity organization? I'm begging the world. Where is the humanity inside you people? Bashar al-Assad is an animal. He's killing his own people.
Omar, I can hear the shelling there in the background. We're going to let you go. You take care and stay safe.
Thanks.
You heard the words there on that very sketchy Skype line. People can't think about food or water. They're simply trying to survive. Where is the international community? Some of the words from Omar in the Baba Amar neighborhood in the city of Homs, under siege for the last 6 days. With us is Ilhan Tahrir, who's a correspondent for the Turkish daily Vatan and a correspondent for Hurriyet Daily News. He was in Syria last month. Ilhan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Is the experience in Homs described by Omar there reminiscent of what you experienced in Douma when you were in Syria?
Exactly. First of all, I wanted to go in Syria because the whole world has been talking about it for about 10, 11 months. And I really wanted to go in and see whether the news coming out of Syria was correct. And the time I lived in 2 weeks there, it was a horrible experience.
We're also with Sarab al-Jujakli, who is a co-founder of the National Alliance of Syria pro-democracy group. He's here in the studio. You have lost members of your al-Jujakli clan in the city of Homs, in Hama, in the city,
yes,
of Hama. That was both back in the 1980s, the 20-year massacre, and more recently in this uprising, yes?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I think every Syrian family over the last 40 years has either had somebody killed by this regime, detained by this regime, or tortured by the regime.
What's your feeling about the people in Homs right now? Because that seems to be the center of the uprising.
It is the center of the uprising for a number of reasons. It's heartbreaking. They're crying out for help to the world. And really, at the end of the day, the message is loud and clear to the people of Homs and Syria is that they are at least temporarily on their own.
Ilhan Tanir, is Homs becoming the Benghazi of Syria right now, really the center of the opposition, and that there are two poles in the nation of Syria? What's going on in Damascus and what's going on in some of these other places around the country?
I think that the Free Syrian Army and the locals would like to be, but the regime forces in Syria has a superb power over the Free Syrian Army. I traveled quite a few suburbs in Damascus, and I met with the Free Syrian Army leaders. And I mean, I can see in Duma, for example, it's probably over thousands of Free Syrian Army members. But in cities like Harasta, which is closer to Damascus, it is fewer. And as far as I know, in Homs too, it is thousands of Free Syrian Army, but the arms they have, it's you really cannot compare with the regime forces, tanks, and all the other military superiority.
Hardware supplied in most cases, yeah, by the nation of Russia. Ilhan Tanir is a correspondent for the Turkish daily Vatan. He was in Syria last month. Sarab al-Jujakli is a co-founder of the National Alliance of Syria. He's in the studio with us. Where does the Free Syrian Army get its arms? And are they terrorists, as Bashar al-Assad says?
No, these are ordinary Syrians who have defected from the Syrian army, many of which have claimed they've been ordered to fire on their own people during peaceful protests, and that has triggered mass defections across the country.
Although you've just described this sort of mafia setup in Syria, mm-hmm, where people are paid to be a part of the regime, what you're, mm-hmm, suggesting is that people are defecting from that mafia, from that sort of paid patronage. Where's the break point where people go, you know, I've got a gun from Bashar al-Assad, I report to him, versus, no, I'm going on my own?
Well, from a Free Syrian Army perspective, what we're seeing is that in front of every conscript soldier, there is a security officer behind them with a pistol aimed at the back of his head. So what's happening now is every individual, every small platoon is trying to find ways to break away. And they're trying to find their chance because they've seen their colleagues being shot in the back of their own heads when they've disobeyed orders.
That's Sarab al-Jujakli. Ilhan Tanir, is that what the Syrian army members report to you, that defections, there would be many more defections but for this threat of execution?
Definitely. That's what they're hoping for. In our interviews, over a dozen of Syrian army leaders in different suburbs, they know that when you compare with numbers, they are not powerful enough to face with the army members. But what they are hoping for, as the major operation that the regime has been undertaking for about 2 weeks now, is going to cause more defections, because their main source for men and arms from these defections.
Although in Syria, the history also tells the tale of the regime shutting things down with an overwhelming use of violence. Ilhan Tanir, a correspondent for the Turkish daily Vatan, and Sarab al-Jujakli, who's here in the studio with us. All hour long, our focus on the situation in Syria. Stay with us.